morning's significant. We're kind of doing things in a bit of a reverse order than what we typically do them. If you're here with us this morning, welcome. It is great to have you with us. It's great to have you at Victory Fellowship. No coincidence that you're here today. Worship team, y'all can jump down on the front row if you want to. This is going to be just a minute, but it won't be terribly long, I don't think. You're here not by coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence and happen chance and all of that. I believe that God had designed you to be here today for whatever reason, perhaps to stir something in you, perhaps to something to come alive in you. And I really want to share. I've had some amazing clarity this week on some stuff that God has spoken to me concerning what He's doing with us as a body and what He's doing in the church. A lot of excitement right now and going on in the house, but we can be excited and not be sure what God's doing. Amen. And I want us to have understanding and clarity. That's one of the things, the words that the Lord spoke to me at the beginning of 2018, that this would be a year where He would reveal secret things to us and He would speak things to us that we only just now gained access to hear and see. And those things were based on our beloved status and going into deeper places of intimacy with Him. Deeper places of relationship, deeper places of commitment with Him. And I believe those are gateways into places of intimacy and gateway into places of trust and gateway into places of being used. And so I've been real excited about that word since the beginning of the year. But God just spoke some really, really cool things to me this week. And I want to just kind of share just to let you know where I feel like we are and what He's doing in our midst. Lori and I were having a conversation a couple of days ago, and it might have been when we were wandering through the South Carolina countryside. And I told Lori, I said, it feels like we're starting a journey again. It feels like we're starting a journey again. 25 years ago, we started a journey. Lori and I and a group of people, and some of you were in that group. It was a journey from saved man, redeemed man, to Pentecost. And God just did some amazing stuff and forever changed our life in that journey. But we came in, and the journey was everything God said it would be. But we ultimately came to a place to where we stayed in Jerusalem too long, if you know what I mean. He, in the book of Acts, He comes to the disciples and He tells them, He said, I want you to release the kingdom and release the gospel into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. And He had to do some things to get them out of Jerusalem. Stephen had to be martyred, and different stuff had to happen to get them out of Jerusalem. And I think that we stayed in Jerusalem too long. Not that Pentecost is not awesome, and not that Pentecost is not amazing, but we wanted to constantly relive Pentecost and be in that moment. And be in that time that God was doing this in our life. I look in Hebrews 6:1 and it said, He comes in and He says, let us move on from the doctrines of all of these great, wonderful, marvelous foundational things that we hold dear and we hold true. But if we do not progress as a people and continue to move forward as a people, Egypt began as a tremendous place of deliverance and blessing for the children of Israel. Under Joseph, it started out like that. That's what it was. It was the most awesome thing. It was like, yes. But after they stayed too long, it became a place of bondage. And I'm not saying it became a place of bondage for us, but it became a place of stagnation for us. A place where we sat still. And as we sat still in that place, then it became something that we pushed to the side, and it was always there. But it was not in the seat or throne of honor and lordship in our life that it was supposed to be. And everything else began to come in and take its place. And to subject it to a lesser place, a lesser role, a lesser identity, a lesser influence in our life. And the Lord spoke to me this week, a couple weeks ago, as He's talking about us starting this journey. And it so resonated. He began to give me clarity on it this week. And as I told Lori, I said, I feel like, and she agreed 1,000%. She said, yes, it does. It feels like we're starting a journey again. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, the journey that you started 25 years ago was a journey to Pentecost. He said, the journey that you're starting on now is the post-Pentecost journey. The post-Pentecost journey. It's the post-Pentecost journey. The Pentecost was never meant to be the high water mark of Christianity, and yet we make it that. We come in and we say, this is, man, how can it get any better than cloven tongues of fire falling on us? Do you know what those cloven tongues of fire falling on us were? They were God's equivalent, New Testament equivalent, to the pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. But instead of one pillar of fire that was leading a whole nation of people, each individual had a pillar of fire resting on them. And it was the Holy Spirit. He's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. He's going to direct our paths. He's going to direct our steps. And you say, all right, man, that sounds cool. What post-Pentecost journey? He says, what does that look like and what does it mean? It's going to look like a lot of different stuff. I can just tell you that there's a phrase that keeps resonating in my spirit, and I've even heard Paul use it a couple times, and it's just like it's confirmation when I've heard you use it a couple times, brother. And it's kingdom man. Kingdom man. My goal and my drive in life is to be a kingdom man. To be a kingdom man. I want my journey and my story and my history to be the fact that I was a kingdom man in beloved status with Yahweh. A few years ago, God moved on mine and Lori's heart to be buried on our farm. And so I started looking into it. In Harrison County, you can have a cemetery on your property if you have meet certain criteria and all of this stuff. And so I went to my mom and dad, and I'm like, look, y'all are a lot older than us. This is on mine and Lori's heart. This is what we are gonna do. Because we're going to be buried on this farm, and we're gonna establish a cemetery on this farm. And you know, of course, my dad was like, yes! And jumped right on it. And he's buried on our farm right now in our family cemetery. But the thing about the family cemetery is 100 years from now, I want it to tell a story of a people. Tell a story of a people. Not just a resting place, because I don't want to be buried at the city cemetery. But to tell a story of a people that were kingdom men and women. The history of us. But if we never start a journey, we don't have a story. Or if we start a journey and we don't finish the journey, then it's incomplete at best. I've been to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania a couple times, and I've stood on the walk the battlefield, and I've crawled among the rocks at Little Round Top, and I've stood at Cemetery Ridge, and Cemetery Ridge is the high water mark of the Confederacy. It's what all the historians say. That was the high water mark because they briefly took it. They briefly took it. But how sad it is, and I'm not saying God was in what happened in the Civil War. Thank God the North won. Sorry all you guys that still got your Confederate flags you like to fly around. God was in the North winning the Civil War. Slavery's nowhere near His heart. But as I stood on Cemetery Ridge and I looked across the vast field of Pickett's Charge, and I put myself there and I thought about all of that stuff, and it was standing among the cannons and the monuments. And it was simply a tragic high water mark for a lost cause. And I thought about the men and the women that suffered and died for a lost cause. And that was the high water mark. And I don't want the high water mark in my faith to be something that happened in 1988. or 1992 or 1995 or 2015 or 2018. I don't want that to be the high watermark of my story. The tragic ending to my story. Of unfilled potential. Of a life not fully lived. And so God speaks to me and He says, we're starting another journey. And it's a post-Pentecost journey. And it's building on foundational truths. It's building on awesome infilling of the Holy Spirit. Without that, we have nothing. Without salvation, we have nothing. Without atonement and redemption, we have nothing. But it doesn't stop there. It starts there. And so I fully believe what we're entering into as a body is we're starting that post-Pentecost journey together. I look around the room and I see so many new people that God has brought in just in the last few months. And in talking with you guys and spending time with you guys and breaking bread with you guys and fellowshipping with you guys, I hear a common theme. And that common theme was the minute I walked in the door, I knew this was the spot. I knew this was the spot for this moment. I knew this was the spot for this place in my life. And it wasn't a thing that you had to come in and get acclimated to. We didn't wow you with the mural on our nursery. We don't have the best coffee bar of the churches around. We don't have a coffee bar. I love my caffeine. It wasn't because of the music. It wasn't certainly because of the great preaching. But it was because God brought you here to start a journey. And it's a post-Pentecost journey. Graham, that's why you're getting baptized today. Do you know in the history of the nation of Israel, there were two baptisms? In the Exodus and the conquest age, there were two baptisms. The first baptism took place in the Red Sea crossing. Alright? That was a baptism of deliverance that carried the children of Israel out of Egypt and it drowned their adversaries. And we talk about that a lot, the death, burial, and the resurrection. And we talk about dead Egyptians, and we beat that drum, and I love to beat that drum. But it can't just stop with dead Egyptians. There was another baptism that had to take place in the children of Israel. And one generation failed at Kadesh Barnea. Through unbelief and through lack of faith and lack of saying, I want all that you have, Lord. But there was a group of people and there was a commitment from God that said, I'm going to get my people there. And the second baptism took place on the Jordan River. And that was a baptism not delivering them from something, but delivering them to something. I believe the reason you're wanting to get baptized this morning, and God may have told you 100 different other things, but what He's speaking to me concerning you today, Graham, is that God said, Graham is getting baptized into something. And that's the post-Pentecost journey. And that's what God's launching you into. That's what He's launching you into. There's a verse of Scripture that I want to read that's going to tie in with this. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. It's found in 2 Corinthians. Y'all just flip there real quick. Peer in the dark. Second Corinthians 9. The context of what is happening here. Y'all remember the church at Corinth? The church at Corinth had all of the gifts. They were the most gifted church anywhere, bar none, that we see recorded. They had all of the gifts. They flowed in the gifts. Post-Pentecost journey is going to be full of gifts. But it's also going to be full of spiritual fruit. The spiritual fruit will undergird the spiritual gifts. Without the spiritual fruit, the spiritual gifts are going to be tinkling sound. But with the spiritual fruit, The spiritual gifts are going to carry power and demonstration and impact. But I see more kingdom man in the church at Corinth right here than I see on 1 Corinthians 13. Than I see of any of these other places. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing them a letter. And there's great need in Jerusalem at this time. And the children of Israel are coming in. The church at Corinth is coming in, and they're saying, we want to meet the need of these people. We want to help meet, we want to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. This isn't about us, this is about them. This is about a body. This is about kingdom life. This is about us being a kingdom man. And so they come in, and the apostle, they make this generous pledge, and they say, we're going to pledge to give this level of support to the saints in Jerusalem. We're going to back up what we say and who we are with generous and lavish gifting. Robin, one of the first things that God has done since He announced to me that we're starting a post-Pentecost journey is God has directly come in and started speaking to me about my generosity and my finances and my giving. That is the most noticeable thing that I've seen God come in and hit me and Lori. And He's caused us to up the ante in several areas of our life. I believe last week what God stirred on your heart to do was a first fruits of what God's doing. And I'm not saying we're going to do that every service. We hadn't done that in 20 years. But that's going to be our heart and our nature. To be extreme and extravagant. Lori come up to me and say, I think we need to sow lavishly into this. I'm like, okay. I think we need to give big in this. Not just give. I think we need to give big into this. And I'm like, well, I'm trusting if we're going to be giving big into all of these areas that there's going to be big coming in. And so he's speaking to the church at Corinth, and he's encouraging them in this post-Pentecost journey that they're on. And he says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. Now, everybody in here, please do not mistake this. I am not teaching you on tithing right now. Sometimes your giving generously looks like time. Sometimes your giving generously looks like mercy. Sometimes your giving generously looks like service. Sometimes your giving generously looks like food. Sometimes your giving generously looks like support and undergirding. So always giving generously is going to look like love. Always. So don't get hung up and say, he's talking about money. I'm talking about way more than that. It's a vehicle that can be used, but it's the least of things that I have to release. The world doesn't need my money. I love what the apostle Peter said as he's going into the gate called Beautiful, and the crippled man is laying there, and he walks in, and the crippled man wants money because that's the most tangible thing. And Peter looks at him and he said, silver and gold have I none. And John's right there with him and says, dude, we don't have money to give you, but we've got something so much more valuable. And he extends his hand to him. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And the man got up and leapt up and began to dance into the temple. Instead of being shut out on the outside because he's crippled, he could come into the temple. And he began to worship God and began to praise God. He worship team, he pulled worship out of his heart. He thought he was a cripple, but there was worship in his heart. That was the word I told the worship team this morning. I said, I want us to come in and I want us to try to pull worship that is already in the hearts of these people, but for the worship to come forth, to cultivate that out of them, spring up, O wells. So he comes in and he says, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Now listen to this. This is the key verse. This applies to everything as we release kingdom life into the world. And God will generously provide all you need. I don't have the answers for that person. God will generously provide all you need. That struggling couple, I don't know what to say to them. God will generously provide all you need. That person wrestling with that addiction, I don't know how to minister. I've made that comment many times because I've never been hooked on drugs. I've never battled any kind of a homosexual tendency or anything like that. I'm like, Lord, they better get somebody else to minister to them because I sure as heck don't know how to. God will generously provide all you need. Let's give it away. As God carries us into this place, as we're on this journey of becoming a kingdom man, then our call in Paul is to give it away. And as we give it away, He'll replenish. And not only will He replenish, but He will magnify and amplify. So that the seed becomes bread, and the bread comes forth in a hundredfold. That's God's expectation. I did OE manufacturing for 28 years, and you know what the accepted industry standard was? 15%. You know what God's expectation is? 100%. You think because you're better than the CDs spiritually that that's what God's looking for, and God said, my expectation is 100% yield. Okay. Sounds good to me. I'll take the field up. Overflowing, pressed out. I'll take all that. But it's not so I can, but so I can release. And he comes in this verse. I'm just about done, and y'all can get on your feet and worship. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. For God is the one who gives seed to the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will give you many opportunities to do good. And He will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Woo! We'll probably expositorily teach this Wednesday night. Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. I love that. That's a promise. Some of y'all looking for a promise. I was talking about promises, and you ain't got that promise. You're like, God, give me a promise. Right here's a promise for you. It's a promise for you, Rick. Promise for you, Scott. It's a promise right here. You will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we, look at this, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. Didn't say they're going to run around and tell everybody how awesome Rick is. Right, Scott Lively, he's a man. It said they're going to give thanksgiving and praise to our God. To their God. So two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. You will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. For your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words. I like that last verse there. Thank God for His Son, a gift too wonderful for words. So I don't know what a kingdom man is going to ultimately look like. But Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So I am pretty sure that a kingdom man, by God's definition, is an image bearer. Is an image bearer. And sometimes it looks like strength, and it looks like protection, and it looks like provision, and it looks like generosity, and it looks like grace, it looks like mercy, it looks like love, sometimes it looks like vulnerability, sometimes it looks like broken obedience, sometimes it will look whatever is in front of you that is needed for that moment. But it will always look like Jesus. So that's the journey we're on. That's what this baptism today is about in my mind. Today may be about somebody burying some Egyptians and God killing some Egyptians. Y'all heard me say last baptism, there was one army that never had to be faced again, the children of Israel. They faced the Philistines and the Moabites and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Hivites and everybody else, but they never faced Egypt again. They never had to worry about Egypt again, brother. And that may be today, that might be about you. Maybe you've got to make that step before you can make the next step. But there's some of you that you made that step years ago. And today's not about you getting delivered from something. Today's about you getting delivered into something. And that's a journey to become a kingdom man. That's God's ultimate design for you, Hunter. It's to be a kingdom man. There's a couple that I really respect and feel a kindred spirit to. They live up in North Carolina. And it's Jonathan Heltzer and his wife Melissa Heltzer, and they're just committed to doing kingdom life. They are on this journey. There are pockets of this journey all over our country. And they're up in the mountains of Sophia, North Carolina. And they're worship leaders. First and foremost, they're a couple that's in love with each other and madly in love with Jesus, and they're raising a family out in the woods of North Carolina. But they've surrounded themselves with a group of people, and their job, their goal, their desire, their mission in life is to be on this post-resurrection journey. I've never heard them use that verbiage, but I think that's what they're doing. Is they're on a post-resurrection, post-Pentecost journey. Because we talk about the resurrected life, but the resurrected life moves on through Pentecost. And they'll go around the world and they'll leave thousands and thousands and thousands in worship, but yet they come back and then they've got this artisan community. It's called the Cages of Birds. And you know what they do, Scott? They're artisans that have come together. And they might make goods and sell goods. They might be coffee brokers. They do. And they do all of it. They're artisans of craft. But what they're doing is they're releasing kingdom expression through their life. And at the heart of it's worship. But it's about, let's go on a journey together. They've got a discipleship school. And it's called the 18-inch journey. From your head to your heart. It's 18 inches. Let's go on that journey. And today, I want to declare, and I felt like the Lord spoke a word to me, and I'm gonna go, I'm not embarrassed by throwing this word out there. Lori, the Lord told me that today was going to be monumental in Victory Fellowship in the history of our church. And maybe it's just because of this announcement that I just made. And some of you guys that are here from all over different places, and you're kind of like, how in the world did I wind up in Victory Fellowship Church in Bremen, Georgia? Paul, you know why you're here, brother? By way of Philadelphia and through Atlanta and through Afghanistan and everything. You know why you're here? Because we're supposed to start a journey. You know why it felt like home the first time you came in here? I remember the first time you ever stepped foot in here. On a Wednesday night. I bet you remember that. And I could just see fire running through you. Leo texts me, and you've never even met him. Leo texts me, says, hey man, Steve's bringing a guy with him. And you know how he described you? He said, you can't miss him, he's 7 foot tall. But you know how he described you? He said, he is just hungry for truth. And you know why I felt like home when you walked in here? Because you knew that this is a place of your embarkation on a journey. And that journey is post-Pentecost for you to become a kingdom man. That's the journey you're on, right? I don't know what all it's going to look like, but I believe with every fiber in me, it's not just preacher speak, I believe with every fiber in me that that's the journey we're supposed to take. That's the journey we're embarking on. Because I want my life to tell a story, and I want my life to be a history of His goodness and His greatness and His love and His provision and His hand moving in us and through us. Man, you wouldn't want to get plugged in nowhere this quick. It just happened. And I've known you for, I don't know how many months now, I'm scared to say, but it feels like I've known you for 5 years instead of 5 months. Feels like we were on the first journey together. We were just in different places. But now God has brought us together for this leg of the journey. And so some of you today, you need to let today be monumental to you. Because I'm declaring something for this house. And it's up to you whether you let it be applicable to you or not. But if you choose to let it be applicable to you, if you choose to let God do it in your life, Cindy Hardy, you think the first journey was glorious? This one's going to blow your mind. And this one's going to change the culture. Because God has sent you out as light into a dark world. And you have answers. And in that word, He said, you have everything in you that you need. And as you release, He'll give more. Everything that is needed for that moment. So this morning, I offer an invitation to you. Father's offering an invitation to you to say yes to a journey. And it's going to be a journey of wonder. Not wander. It's going to be a journey of wonder. And God's going to raise up, and it's not going to be a respecter of age. It's not going to be a respecter of past. You say, brother, I'm too hurt to do anything right now. God can bind up those wounds and heal those wounds in a second. With the first drop of blood that fell from His body and touched planet Earth was redeemed. And it was enough to heal your hurts. It was enough to touch your wounds. So the invitation and the proclamation today is for let's start a journey. A post-Pentecost journey. You say, brother, where do I go to find clarity on this? And you seek the Father on this, but start studying the book of Acts, because the book of Acts was their post-Pentecost journey. Luke, the book of Acts was their post-Pentecost journey. That was it. Their post-Pentecost journey. You say, man, I come in and I don't even know if I haven't even been to Pentecost yet. I'm just saved. And I'm confident of that. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But how can I go to a post-Pentecost journey if I've never been through Pentecost? And simply, your prayer is simple this morning. Worship team, you come on back up. Let's go ahead and get ready. We're about to engage the Lord in worship. Your prayer is simple this morning. I don't have a magic potion that I'm going to spray. I don't have pixie dust this morning. I don't have abracadabra this morning. But your prayer is simply, God, I want everything that You've got for me in my life. Everything that You died for, I want it in my life. Everything You have stored up in heaven for me, I want it in my life. I don't want to wait until eternity and the old by and by, but I want to walk in it now because that's Your heart for me. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And your prayer this morning is simple as, God, I want it all. God, I want everything. I want to be a kingdom man. I want to live my life and walk my walk as a kingdom man. And I am confident that as you ask God that, He will fill you with every bit of fullness and measure of His Spirit. Am I going to speak in tongues and fall out on the floor and all that stuff, preacher? Probably not. Don't be surprised if you wake up in the middle of the night speaking in tongues. Happens to me quite frequently. You say, I'm afraid of the weird. I'm afraid of the common. I'm afraid of the unusual. I'm afraid of the ordinary. The biggest fear in my life, Tiffany, is that I would live an ordinary life when God died for me to be extraordinary. It's the biggest fear I have. God's doing something in that one right here. It's noticeable to me. God was speaking to me some things concerning Him this morning. God's doing preparatory, and there's going to be a launching. Have confidence in that. You're at the precipice of it. It's beginning now. It's beginning now. I believe you can see it too. I see it. It's noticeable. It's noticeable. And it's heaven kingdom, because His journey is kingdom man. His journey is kingdom man. Saying yes to that. Let's stand to our feet, guys. However you need to respond this morning, if you need to come down here and spend time in the altar, it is always open. If you want to come and bring tithes and offerings, put them in the baskets down here. We don't pass them around. I encourage you to step out in worship. I encourage you to come down here and engage in worship with us. I encourage you to do that. Let's just engage our Father. And let's lavish great love on Him. Let's lavish great love on Him. Father, we love You and we lift You up. And we thank You for this opportunity to gather together with this, I won't even say company of believers, with this family that You've placed us into. Yes. And I am so thankful for this journey that we're embarking on. I'm so thankful for this launching out. Father, I have complete confidence that You will do what only You can do along this way. Teach us, show us, raise us up, Father God, so that we release heaven into this earth. It's in Jesus' sweet name we ask this, and in His name we stand, we live, and we place all of our hope. Amen and amen. Come on now, let's just engage the Lord, guys. Any of you family members want to come down close, man, friends, y'all come on down and get front row if you want to and all that stuff. Get you a good spot. All right. Ryan said he didn't want to be first. Love this brother right here. Love his family. I love his mama. You know that phrase, kingdom man? That's what your mama is. I'm serious. That's the journey that you're launching into today, Hunter. Is the journey into being a kingdom man. And you've done a lot of things in your young life. You're 17, right, Hunter? 17. And Hunter's played football, and wrestled, and played the cello. Y'all didn't know that about Hunter, but he played the cello. So I'm praying for a revival on that. But just, you know, just throwing that out there. Played the cello, playing lacrosse this year. I know you like to hunt and all of that stuff, and obviously you're attracted to sweet females, so that's good. But your ultimate identity, all of those things that we do, we did something with our children, and we said, let's Let's expose our kids, or let our kids try a lot of different things and see which one sticks. All right, this is important. Listen, y'all, listen to me. This is important. And so they did dance, and they did softball, and they did basketball, and did the swim team, and did all of those things, and found measures of success in all of those. But what we said is, let them try these things until we find what sticks. What's their lane, if you will? What's their place? And Hunter, today, this is your place. And that's the journey of being a kingdom man. That's your place. That's your identity. Now, you'll do a lot of cool stuff. I'm not saying everything else stops here. You know, you can still have hobbies, and you can still kill big deer, and anything else that you're... He says He gives us the desires of our heart. He knows I like to fly fish, so He lets me catch big trout. But that's not my ultimate identity. My ultimate identity is this journey of becoming kingdom man. And I really feel like the Lord is speaking that over yet to you today. And I don't know if this is a Red Sea or if this is a Jordan River or all of the above. It can be all of the above. It can be all of the above. But it's going to launch you into the journey of becoming a kingdom man. So you yield to the Lord. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Let Him speak to you. But you came up to me last Sunday night, and Hunter came over to the house to pick something up. Robin had forgotten something at the house. And he told me, he said, I'm thinking about being baptized Sunday. And I said, that's awesome, man. And I said, just ask the Lord in your heart and say, God, what is it you're wanting to, you know, the purpose behind. So He would know. You know what the cool thing about all of that was? Was the God that spoke the universe into existence. The God that created everything by His Word. The Word says that the worlds were framed at the Word of Jesus. That He spoke everything to existence, and He stopped everything He was doing to speak to Hunter and said, hey man, you think He's kind of busy? But He's not too busy. Just meditate on that. That the God that did all of this, and the God that spoke all of this, the God that created all of this, the God that redeemed all of this, stopped and He spoke to you and said, Hunter, I want you to get baptized. And then didn't mind any questions that you brought back to Him. That should give you confidence going into this journey, that not only does He see and know, but He cares. He cares. God is more concerned about your kingdom man journey than you are at this point. And He'll bring it to fruition. And you'll burn, and you'll get hotter and hotter and hotter if you keep a nearness and an openness to Him. And I believe that. I'm confident of that. I am confident of that. But I believe that's what the Lord is saying for you today, from me, from my standpoint. And I hope He whispers a thousand other things to you. But today, I believe you're launching your journey into a kingdom, man. And so, man, I'm pumped. I'm excited. Y'all excited for Hunter? Y'all extend your hand. Yeah, go ahead and extend your hands to Him. Father God, I thank You for Hunter. I thank You for this journey. I thank You for this launching. And Lord, You have dreams and You have visions. You don't even have possibilities. You have probabilities. And I pray You'd stir in this young man. Stir in him hunger. Stir in him desire. Stir in him faith. And then, Lord, let that faith turn into trust. I pray that his faith would turn into trust. That his hope would turn into confidence. Come on. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes. Faith to trust. hope to confidence. That not only can't you can, but you will. Not only you can, but you will. And I pray that his life would be built on that foundation. I declare that this house would be a fertile garden for him. It'll be a place of safety, be a place of protection, but it'd also be a place of launching out, of propelling him into purpose and destiny. Lord, I just declare these things. I just agree with heaven over these things. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, upon your obedience to His Word for the what's next, upon your faith that He'll accomplish this, I baptize you, my brother Hunter, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Mr. Bryce, Bryce's daddy and his uncle got baptized a few weeks ago, and as he stood down here, tears were streaming down his face. You know what that is? Granddad, you know what that is? That's Holy Spirit moving and stirring on him, even at a young age. How old are you, Bryce? Eight. I'm going to release something into him, Adam. And that is a drive that common's not good enough. Because I live in a world and I look around and I see a society of people that find a comfort place in common. It's like eating comfort food. They find a comfort place in common. And I want to release a spirit on him that common's not good enough. That I'm built for more. I'm saved for more. I'm redeemed for more. God's Spirit's living on the inside of me. And that means that I've got a bright mind. That intelligence is going to come forth. I'm not saying he's going to be valedictorian. I'm saying he's going to have an understanding of things. That he's going to have wisdom. That he's going to be able to figure things out. That he's going to be able to do anything he puts his mind to. I'm going to go so far as to say that common's going to be repulsive to him. That he'll know that my identity is better than average. And he grew up in a beloved status in his home. I'm going to charge you guys I'm going to charge y'all. Grandparents, I'm going to charge y'all. That grow him up, raise him up in an atmosphere that he knows he's bigger than common. He's bigger than average. Now I'll say that to every one of you kids down on the front. You're bigger than average. You're bigger than common. Judah, God said you were great. I know your daddy been telling you that for years. He just wanted you to go to Georgia and play football, but I want to tell you something. God's got something bigger than that. If you do that, that's fine. That's what I feel like the Holy Spirit speaking over Bryce this morning. That there is not going to be a place for common in his life. It's going to be extraordinary. Tan, I charge you with that. You guard your household. You let your marriage shine extraordinary. Gravitate toward Proverbs 31. Further and further away from Medea and toward Proverbs 31. Right? Adam, kingdom man, brother. Kingdom man. You kind of MacGyver right now. But God's coming in. God just spoke something to me. Gideon was improvising. He was threshing wheat in a wine press. Because of the enemy, the constant harassment and attacks of the enemy. So he said, I'm going to improvise. And God said, the days of you improvising are behind you. And God came to Gideon and he said, Hail thou mighty man of valor. Hail thou kingdom man. And he's looking over his shoulder trying to figure out who he's talking to. And the angel said, I'm talking to you. So today, by the Spirit of the Lord, he says, your days of improvising just to make it are over. That you're a mighty man of valor. You're a kingdom man. You're a kingdom man. And you're going to raise up a kingdom son. You're going to raise up a kingdom son. You're going to raise up a kingdom son. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right. You ready, Bryce? Y'all extend your hand. Let's pray over this young man. Come on, whole body. Here we go. Father God, I thank you for Bryce. I thank you that a young man would be tender to your spirit. That a young man would hear your voice. Just like Hunter heard your voice. And just like Graham heard your voice. Just like Wanda heard your voice. I thank you that an 8-year-old can hear your voice. God, I just declare. And I say yes and come into agreement with all the prophetic things that you just spoke over him and his family. And God, let us undergird that as a house. Let us undergird that as a family. Let us be a fruitful garden that he can grow in, that he can be nourished in, he can be challenged in, he could grow to be a kingdom man in, Father. Let this house be that house. Lord, we just speak and we just declare these things over Bryce. In Jesus' name, amen. You ready, buddy? Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your yes to him, I baptize you, my brother Bryce, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Graham. A lot of y'all don't know Graham. Graham's new to the house, but not new to the kingdom. I was talking with Graham a few weeks ago, and I'm like, man, what all do you do? And he said, well, I'm a student in college. And he said, I worked two jobs. And he was telling me the two jobs that he worked. And he already made some good marks in my book by the fact that he was gainfully employed. Come on, my wife's back here saying yes and amen. When I was in college, I worked two jobs too, brother. It can be done. And I asked him, I've learned to kind of be pointed on stuff. And I said, what's your end game? What's the end game on your degree and all of this stuff? And he said, I'm going to be in the ministry full time. Or not full time. He said, I'm going to be in the ministry. A young man that, you 19 or 20? 18. 18. Shout. Yes. 18-year-old young man. That God's already spoken purpose into him. That says something about mom and daddy. It says something about mom and daddy, and it says something about a young man's ability to hear the voice of the Lord and respond with a yes. I felt like as I was meditating and getting ready for this week, and I told you the same thing that I told Hunter, to ask the Lord and say, God, what are you wanting to do, and me being baptized and everything. And you said he's already spoken several things to you, which is awesome. And we won't even go there right now, because sometimes God speaks private things to us. But I will tell y'all what the Lord spoke to me. And he said that for Graham, this baptism was a baptism into the post-Pentecost journey. That this baptism was a launch into something. And it's a launch into the journey of you becoming that kingdom man in this post-Pentecost journey that God's carrying us into. So I want to tell you, study the book of Acts, and you read the book of Acts, and you look at the community and the family in the book of Acts. You look at the heart of Luke and the heart of Paul and the heart of Barnabas and Peter and Stephen and Philip and all of these great men and all of these great women that God used. And as you read them, I believe that it will not only inspire you, but God will speak things into you on what your identity is and what you're to become. And He will give you clarity. I believe that, Graham. But I think today is not a Red Sea, it's a Jordan River. It's a Jordan River into a land that will be conquered. And part of that conquering, as I said Wednesday night, part of that conquering may be helping others find their identity and find their purpose and gaining their inheritance before you actually enter into all of yours. But then one thing that we'll find is we help others enter into their inheritance. That's our inheritance too. That's my inheritance. Baptizing Graham this morning, that's my inheritance. Baptizing Bryce, that's my inheritance. That's my inheritance. Mama Lori said she had something she wanted to speak.
All three of you guys, I feel like the Lord, you're taking you from a relationship where you've been good sheep. Because the Father, the Shepherd, loves His sheep. Man, I go out every day, and we go out every day and we count our cattle, and they know our voices, and our animals, they love us, and they trust us. And because of that relationship y'all have had with Him, y'all have been really good sheep. And He really loves you very much. But He says, I'm looking for a bride. And in this relationship, we share time together. We share secrets together. We share life. We share plans. We share intentions. We share good times and bad times. We have dreams together. And I believe He's saying, now I'm going to go into a bride relationship with you guys. So this is the baptism into the bridegroom. That when you come up, you're going to learn to walk with Him as bride does with her groom. And share those dreams. And that is generational. Because my dreams are for the generations that are in here. And that's what He's going to open up in your heart today. Is that relationship to just bloom for that. Because you have been faithful in the other relationship. He said, I'm ready to go to this part. Amen. Father, I thank You for all these who have been baptized today, Father. I thank You that they have been good sheep. They've loved You, and You've loved them, Father. I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, that right now You're going to take them, though, into the bride chamber. You're going to show them the deep thoughts that You have toward them, personally, individually, just for them, just for that one-on-one relationship with you, Yahweh, with you, Father, with you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, just flood them and open their eyes to see your dreams and your intentions you have for them and your heart toward them. And let them go out, Lord, and just shine it to others to bring the generations in, Father. Thank you for their yes. We all say yes today, Father, to that invitation to be your bride. Amen.
You ready, brother? Upon your profession of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and upon your yes to a new journey, upon your yes for more, upon your yes to hunger, which is a choice, I baptize you in the name of our Father, His beloved Son, our Savior, and our sweet Comforter and Guide, the Holy Spirit. I baptize you in all three. You in them, and them in you. Amen and amen. Wanda, everybody. Some of you guys don't know Wanda. Wanda's new, but she's not new. Wanda's one of those I've known for about 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but I feel like I've known her for about 18 years, my whole life. Maybe it's because God knew us before the foundations of the earth. I'll get all weird on y'all right now. I can get all weird on y'all, freak y'all out right now. I didn't have a former life, but I was in Him before the foundations of the earth. Woo, come on, somebody. And she was there too. Yeah. Shout, I told y'all we could get weird if we wanted to. Man. One, I believe this journey to the post-Pentecost, the resurrection, man. Kingdom man, kingdom woman. That's the journey we're saying yes to, and that's the journey you're saying yes to. Here's something that I believe, I feel like the Father spoke to me specifically about you, and I vocalized it in a prayer a while ago. I think I was praying over Hunter. But something that the Lord said, tell Wanda this, in this journey, what He's going to do is He's going to turn your faith. You've been a woman of faith. You've been a woman of faith. You've been a woman of faith. And He is going to turn it into absolute trust. And no longer will it be a Lord, if you had been here, and I know you could have, then I know there will be a resurrection. And Jesus told her, "There, I am the resurrection." And that you will go and mature from faith to trust. And you're going to go and you're going to mature in this journey from hope to confidence. Confidence. And I just see that as something, and it's going to happen rapidly in you. And man, I'm just excited about this journey. And I just want to speak life over you and your household. And everything that you put your hand to. That scripture this morning in chapter 9, verse 8, 2 Corinthians. Know that and have confidence in that. That He will give us all things as we have need, as long as we freely give it away. And He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And I pray and declare this morning, y'all extend your hands over her if you will. I pray and declare this morning that your barns will be full. But your barns are not full so you can hoard it and say, look how blessed I am. Your barns are full so you can release it to a starving nation. And that's what I declare over you. That's what I declare over you. That's what I declare over you. That you will be a storehouse. And you will know how to steward it. I've always marveled at Joseph's stewardship abilities and say, how did he do that? And Father God said, I told him how. And I believe Holy Spirit's going to show you and teach you how to steward. Your lot's not going to be disappointment. It's not going to be failure. It's not going to be fear. It's not going to be any place of plateauing out or stagnation, but the standard in your life's going to be 100-fold. The standard in your life's going to be 100-fold. Common is not only going to be boring to you, but it's going to be disgusting to you. Ordinary is not only going to be boring to you, but ordinary is going to be disgusting to you. I pray that your palate will change. Your palate will change. Your palate will change. And you will be satisfied in the deep things of God. And you'll learn to appreciate them and enjoy them and savor them as you never have before. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Yes, Lord. You ready? Let's do this. Man, I pray for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. Fresh baptism. Pillar of fire, Father. Pillar of fire. Pillar of fire. The leader, guider, director. Standard bearer. Jehovah Nisi. I declare Jehovah Nisi. The Lord our standard. The Lord our banner. The Lord my flag. The Lord just spoke to me in that, Wanda. He said, you will do more damage to the enemy raising a flag than you ever did with a sword. I always said I didn't want to be the flag bearer in an army because I didn't have a gun. I'm like, that's got to be the suckiest job because you can't shoot back. But he said, you can rally the troops and you can push a cause and you can inspire people simply by waving the flag. So I declare over you today, Jehovah Nisi. I declare over you today, my standard bearer, my standard bearer, my standard bearer. And it's going to attract people and it's going to draw people and it's going to give people hope. It's going to give people hope. Strength and courage for carrying a flag. Strength and courage for a banner. Strength and courage for a banner. The days of the sword are over. It's beloved status now. It's beloved status now. It's beloved status. It's the banner. He declares his banner over me is love. That's the banner you're flying, is his love for you. His love for a world. Beloved status. That's the banner you're flying. Yeah, come on. Yes. Yeah. Lord, we just baptize Wanda in all of these things. Launch her into this journey. Launch her into this journey, Father. Propel her. Propel her. God, I pray she'd move so fast that time would stand still. The whole time sitting at your feet. That weeks would become minutes. Years would become days. You can accomplish so much in her and through her, Father, and we just declare that. In Jesus' sweet name. In Him. Yes. I agree with monumental. Today was monumental for me. Today was monumental for the disembarkation. Launching out. And there'll be others that God will add. And they'll come in and they'll join. And when they do, they'll pick right up in stride, right in cadence. He's establishing a cadence. A gate, if you will, for all you horse lovers. And we'll be in the same gate because we'll be in His gate. We'll be in His gate. Man. Jeff, come up here, brother. Where's Jeff at? Come on up here. Man, I don't know how to do this. This is Jeff Vaughn for all you new folks. Turn around so they can get a good look at you, Jeff. This is Jeff Vaughn. He's just been a son of the house for years. And he's a full-time missionary in the Philippines. His son just graduated from the police academy, so Jeff came home for a few weeks to see his son graduate from the police academy. Jeff was a policeman for years and years and years before he answered the call to full-time mission work. And Jeff's leaving next Sunday night, right? Next Sunday night. Monday morning, that's kind of like middle of the night thing. Are you going to be here next Sunday? I know Brother Jody's going to be here next Sunday too. We were going to come in and Jeff was going to just, you know, we were going to introduce Jeff and he was just going to kind of share some of the stuff that's going on and all of that. Because a lot of you guys don't know Jeff, but he's been doing a good work over in the Philippines. And we were going to get a progress report. I believe God's done this morning. And so I just want... This is Jeff, and we want you to connect with him. We want you to bless him. He'll be here Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and so we'll figure out something where he can kind of share and all of that. Next Sunday, we do have Brother Jody Brazelton's going to be coming, so you're going to be blessed with that. We've known Jody since he was a 14-year-old young man, leading worship at an early age. And so we'll be excited about him coming. Invite somebody to come back next Sunday. It's going to be good. It's going to be powerful. Come back Wednesday night. I love Wednesday nights. We do expository teaching on most Wednesday nights. We break down the Word. So if you're here, man, you're like, man, I just want some Word. Give me some Word. Come Wednesday night, and I promise you, you'll get an hour of Word. Straight up breaking down Scripture. So come for that. Man, we've got a lot of other things. BBS is coming up shortly. Check your emails. If you're not on the email list, sign up for it. And I'll do a better job of announcements as we get a little bit further. Errol, do we have anything pressing that I just have got to announce right now? Are we good on for most part for everything? Will y'all just stand to your feet? Oh, yeah. I think we'll probably bless Brother Jeff next week. I think we'll bless him next week. I'm in the blessing mode. I just want to bless him next week. So be prepared just to bless Brother Jeff. We want to send him back to the Philippines. Jeff and I had lunch last week and I said, you know what, he was telling me about the ministries and what all was going on and all of that stuff. And he said, I could do more if my budget was larger. I could do so much more if my budget was larger. And so, you know, as God stirs and moves on us and takes us to this next journey, then I think that's going to be one of the things. It's going to be a release of sowing and outpouring and generosity. I really feel like that. And so I want us to bless Brother Jeff next week. So just come prepared to do that. And then we'll give you all the website info and everything where you can do it online, you know, and all of that. Or if you miss one face, I didn't have any money last week, but I hit Linda Wednesday night and I blessed her Wednesday night. And I've got a card to read from her, and it is stinking awesome and good. Michaela, will you look in my Bible right there, please? Right, it should be right behind you somewhere. There's a card stuck in there and some of that stuff. Yes, would you bring that? I just feel important that I need to. Amen. Thank you, girl. Yeah. I need my glasses too. I'm sorry. God's healing. It's right up here. Will one of you girls bring those to me? God's healing my hip right now, but my eyes are still. Yeah, and I don't want to have to wait till heaven. Some of y'all just say, man, I'm just going to wait till heaven. I'll have a new body then. Mine's breaking down. I want mine now. Dear Victory family, words cannot express the gratitude that I feel in my heart. You allowed God to use you as an outpouring of His love. I am so undeserving of such love. What you did goes way beyond a financial blessing. It opened up a well that will begin to burst forth throughout the house. Amen. I agree with that. When I was praying for the service Sunday morning, the Lord directed me to pray for His love to overwhelm the whole house, that all would be filled with this love. Little did I know what He had in mind. This has to do with Him overtaking us all with His love and us stepping out and giving it away. That's kind of what we read this morning. You will be blessed. When I told my son Kyle about it, he's a mathematician professor at West Georgia. When I told my Kyle about it, he said, that's a perfect square, $841. That's what was blessed with her Sunday morning, was $841. He said, that's a perfect square. 841 is the amount that was given. Kyle was moved by the whole thing. The number 841 was confirmation of some things in my family. The Lord led me, this is what I love, man, this kind of rocks my world. The Lord led me to Strong's number 841, which means, one, a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. You can't make that up. 841, that's why I didn't have any money in my billfold, and I could bless you Wednesday. I'd have messed it up if I'd have gave to you Sunday. 841, Strong's, means a perfect condition of life in which no aid or support is needed. Sufficiency of the necessities of life and a mind contented with its lot. Contentment. And then she wrote 2 Corinthians 9:8, which is the scripture that I read this morning and emphasized this morning. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Wow! Did y'all get that? Woo! You will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. I bless y'all with that this scripture this morning. I bless y'all with that scripture this morning. Y'all go in peace, y'all go in hope, and y'all go in the power of His love. Y'all be blessed. Have an awesome week. We'll see you guys Wednesday night.